So this is Mallory Wyatt. We are doing a special edition on the line episode for the Texarkana Gazette, and I am here speaking with Dr. Lloyd Jackson, the new superintendent of Texarkana, Arkansas School District.
I'm Lloyd Jackson, the proud superintendent of the Texarkana, Arkansas School District, where every day is a great day to be a Razorback.
How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I am in a space in which I am having a blast. I can feel the community support and community love as I get into this role. And so that coupled with my just general excitement around this work, I'm wonderful.
How long have you worked in education?
So we are on year number 21, if I count correctly, in education, starting out as a math teacher, moving into administration as an assistant principal at the middle school level, high school principal, which, if I'm going to be honest, one of the most fun times of my career, working at the high school level, then going into deputy superintendent. Much of that is in the Hot Springs, if not, that's 14 or 15 years within the Hot Springs School District. And then I spent 4 years in the Kansas City Public Schools, where I had a fun time as the Assistant Superintendent for School Leadership, working with 16 different campuses at my largest campus site, K through 12, and then get the chance to really focus in on the secondary sites in my last year there, where we saw some great things happening. But 20 years of experience in this space, and it has been some fun times for sure.
What led you to education as a path?
Great question. And I wish I had some great epiphany where it's just like, man, I want to be an educator. I spent a lot of my youth working with leaders. And even as a young person, I was a leader of leaders. And I found myself teaching Sunday school, found myself being workshop presenter at different conferences and things of that nature. And when I went off to college, I wanted to major in mathematics. But I really wanted to major in PE, physical education, with a minor in mathematics, so I can drive a bus. Being a first-generation college student, I didn't know what to expect, what to even do when I got to college. But I came back as a freshman, and I was sharing my excitement about being a physical education major and minoring in mathematics to my counselor, Ms. McIver, at that time. And Ms. McIver looked at me and she said, Lloyd, how about you major in mathematics? And you want to do the coaching thing, you can do that, but you're going to be very employable as a math teacher. And so I switched my major to mathematics. And from there, again, I found a love for teaching and learning and got a bachelor's of science in mathematics, but also got a certification in education to teach math. And it's been a joy ever since to think about. You know, I could not imagine working any other space because impacting young people's lives has been very rewarding.
Now, I know you said that you never had an epiphany or anything, but did you ever have any teachers, administrators, or role models that you admired or mentored you?
Well, certainly. Going through school, certainly within the Texarkana, Arkansas School District and the other districts I've worked in and certainly have lived in, lots of adults important to me. And those adults, like the Mr. Don Cowles of the world, the Mr. Jesse Keatons of the world, the Miss MacIvers, the Miss Moody's of the world, all poured into me in a way that was so instrumental. And in some of those cases, there were people who I had as teachers, but their children went to school with me as well. I'm thinking about the Dr. James Works, who was our choir teacher. I got a chance to spend the night at his home because he and his son and I were good friends. And so before a choir performance, we'd go spend the night and have some good times. So they impacted me in so many ways and poured into me genuinely for them. But I don't know that they really understood how much I was watching, how they were husbands, how they were family people, how they were kind to people. And the impact they were making on my life certainly drives my desire to impact someone else. Because in education, there's always someone watching. And they're watching for several different reasons, oftentimes, and you're not knowing it. So being our best selves, putting our best foot forward, and serving our students is most important because we could be impacting their journey forward as they try to mimic or mock what they see. Our kindness, our love, our enjoyment, of work that we do. And I saw lots of teachers along the way who had a pure passion for this work, and they poured their hearts and souls into it.
Now, when you ended up majoring in mathematics with the certification, was it ever a goal of yours to become an administrator, or did it eventually just work out where you worked your way through that?
If I'm being honest, I went and got my master's because it's a pay raise when you get more education. That's a part of our scheme. When you start talking about our salary schedule. And so I got the master's because it was just the thing I could do and I wanted to do. But I wanted to teach for as long as I could. When they came at me and my first administrative job, they came to me and said, "We want you to be." And it was a dean of students at the middle school. And I was like, I'm having fun doing this right here. Then, not something I really wanted to go do. But then I start processing through that. I get a chance to impact 150 students, about 30 kids a class period, as a math teacher. And I enjoyed doing that. Loved it. I think I was great at it. And my dad would say I did a pretty good job. But I thought about, as a principal, as an assistant principal, I can impact 450 or 600 students. So that impact drew me. That impact to be able to be in more classrooms so that more students can see experiences are positive in that classroom, so I can support teachers, that they support students. That drew me. That kind of drove me into the administration world, and was not an aspiration of mine, but certainly something I'm grateful I got a chance to get into, because as I went up the ranks as assistant principal, I really got a chance to impact. As a principal, high school principal, that impact grew larger as we had 1,000 kids at the high school, and then going to the district office. You know, in Hot Springs, I had 3,400 students I got a chance to impact. In Kansas City, I had a chance to impact 15,000 students. And then coming back home, I'm impacting 3,700 lives every day with every decision that we make. And it's exciting. And I'm so grateful I took that one step into administration some, seems like 15, 16 years ago. And that's gotten me to the space that we're in now.
So how much did you enjoy your time at Henderson State University, and how hard is it for you to leave it?
Great question. Henderson is another place that's near and dear to me, because it's a place in which, as a first-generation college student, they embraced me in a way that was nothing but love, and they shepherded me into getting a degree. So I owe so much. I'm indebted so much, not only with a bachelor's, but also a master's degree. And so for them to invite me back and ask me to come and work on campus, it was honoring, and certainly I was honored and humbled to get a chance to do that work. And one of the reasons why I was a little hesitant to throw my name in the hat here. Now, while I love working in public education, K-12, I was enjoying the work I got a chance to do in development. As I got a chance to meet alumni and friends in university, I likened it to throwing parties and hanging out with friends all the time in development office. Stress level, as I share with people as a development officer, was at a -7. So stress was not a thing in that work. And my wife, actually, when we started talking about this position, she asked the question, why are you chasing after stress? And I said to her, which is a true statement, I am not chasing it. It is calling me. This work is certainly a calling. And so to leave Henderson was certainly bittersweet. It is something that I still get a chance to pour into. It's a different way. But coming here, if I'm being completely transparent, really overwhelms all of the sadness of leaving Henderson because of the amount of joy that's in this space and the work I get a chance to do. While it's going to be rough, it's going to be tough, we got hard work to do, it's work I'm willing to do, roll up our sleeves, and work along with some amazing people in this system. So I'm excited about it.
So you have spent time in Kansas City as well as Hot Springs, yeah? What from your time over there will you be bringing over here that will help you?
Great question there. And there are so many nuggets on both of those spaces, in Hot Springs and in Kansas City. I went to Kansas City on purpose. Love working in Hot Springs. I spent majority of my career has been in Hot Springs School District, and it was fun. It was exciting. I knew everybody. Like, you go into Walmart, you go into the hardware store. Hey, Mr. Jackson. Hey, Mr. Jackson. I've taught their children, or if these children are now grown and in the store and having a good time. And so love that. But I wanted to see what did a larger system feel like? Is something that I enjoyed or not? And Kansas City welcomed me into their family. And I learned that the work we're doing in Hot Springs is the same work we had to do in Kansas City. And what I'm learning here is the same work we have to do here in Texarkana. The work around professional learning communities was in Hot Springs and in Kansas City, and it's here. The work around ensuring that there is quality tier one instruction, all areas, same conversation. But I did learn in Kansas City some structures, some systems, because you're a larger system. And so when you're a larger system, you got to align differently. And so I learned some alignment challenges that we had to overcome. And so there are some practices, lots of practices that I've learned both in Hot Springs and in Kansas City that I'm taking the good of and trying to create systems here over time. Still doing a lot of learning right now. Looking to see what we do and what we do well, then what things are we not doing well, and what learnings have I gotten over those last 14, 15 years that I can now use into this space. So there'll be lots of little snippets of Hot Springs showing up, of Kansas City showing up, some of those best practices that are happening across not just those systems, but really across the country.
So you have been a teacher, a principal, an assistant superintendent, and now you're, about to become the superintendent. Well, you are the superintendent. How do you think having been in these previous roles will help you as a superintendent?
I think being in those roles give me the experience of the feel of being a teacher. And I will say a couple other things there. Once a year, over the last 12, 13 years, I have, on my birthday, gone and taught a math class to try to keep my skills sharpened. And so I try to find out for one class, teacher, let me teach at least one period. Sometimes they let me teach two. And I'm reminded of how teaching is hard work. It is art and it is science. And you're trying to engage people. It's, in some cases, entertainment. But it's a lot of hard work. And so being in the trenches as a teacher helps me understand the work that happens in planning for implementing and carrying out a lesson, but also assessing through understanding. And then being in administration, I understand the woes of trying to be a leader on the campus while also supporting your teachers. And so, and taking care of the initiatives and the requirements that our district puts in the place for the district as a whole. But also, the one role I don't talk a whole lot about, but I want to make sure I mention it here, I was a bus driver. And so I drove a bus as a high school math teacher. So I also taught math and drove a bus. And it was, again, one of the most fun times I've had, because you're driving a big piece of equipment that's housed about 50 or 75 precious lives that are behind you, another very critical role that is played. And if I don't do my work well as a bus driver, students don't get to school on time, kids don't get home on time. And so another critical piece of the work, which was, again, helps me remember that the work that people are doing, not just in the classrooms, but all of our paraprofessionals, those who are the peripheral work that happens outside of that classroom, just as important. We got to feed our students. It's important. We got to have technology that's working. Important. And so being at the district level has helped me understand the big pieces that make up the parts of our district, that if one piece of it's not doing what it's supposed to do, then we have to really be careful, because it can impact achievement of students. So nothing is minor in the work that we're doing, and we got to make sure we're all fine-tuned and working in the same direction. So,
what are some of your top priorities at TASD?
So those priorities will shift over time. In these first couple months, it really is listening, learning, and then leaning into the things that we're doing well. And so as I listen, what are the things that people are really celebrating? As I listen, what are the things that people are really have angst about or have anxiety around, and how do we create systems to support improvement in those areas? And then leaning in, leaning into the work, rolling up the sleeves and saying, what is it that I can do to support the things that are going well, and then also change the things we need to change. And so that'll shift from listening, learning, and leaning to more of getting the work done. Now, what's our strategic plan? How are we going to do this work? And what things can we do to improve academic success for our students? That's number one. The whole purpose of school is for student achievement. And student achievement is not me saying that every kid going off to college or every kid going off to the workforce, but every kid being prepared what's next in their life. And so for a kindergartner, they're ready for the first grade. For a third grader, they're ready for fourth grade. For that sixth grader, are they ready for seventh grade? And eighth grader, they're ready for high school, the big old high school monster. And then for that senior, are they ready for life beyond high school? So we're going to create systems, create plans to help our students be successful wherever they are and in the way they need to be successful, but also supporting our teachers, supporting our principals as we do that work in a very collaborative way.
Gotcha. Let's flash forward a little bit. So 3 to 5 year goals. Have you started thinking about that yet?
Most certainly. So as you go into this kind of situation, you're certainly looking at where you are now, but you have to start processing what does future look like for the system? Because how do you strategically plan if you don't know where you're going? A wise man certainly once said, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will get you there. And we got a distinctive role and path we want to take in order to get there. And we're going to get to in 3 to 5 years. Certainly is every one of our schools in our system seeing success academically, students reading on grade level, students doing mathematics on grade level. We're seeing growth in our students year or if not more than a year over year, so that they can one, stay on target and in some cases catch up and do the things they need to do. If you're a third grader reading on second grade level, I got to get you a year and a little bit more in order to move you forward to your fourth grade year. So having systems to support student achievement, student growth, but also instilling pride. So 3 to 5 years from now, we're going to have race-back pride across this system that is sometimes sickening to people around us. Here they come again, come those Razorbacks, because we have this sense of pride. And I believe that when we get that sense of pride, it comes with achievement, both on and off the fields of play, but also in those classrooms. We're going to see students who are proud to be a Razorback in their math class, proud to be a Razorback in that science lab, proud to be a Razorback in that encore class or that elective course that they're in, because they're getting the things they need in order to be successful. As we embed into the work we're doing, what is going to help each one of our students see their full and best potential?
If you could say one thing to teachers, students, staff, and the folks that you'll be working with about what to expect during your tenure here at TASD, what would that be?
One thing I put on the table is that our system is getting a leader who truly is all in for TASD. All in simply means that if it's best for students, we're going to go fast forward towards it and do what we can to help our students achieve what they need to achieve. And so that also encompasses being supportive of teachers, being supportive of our administrators, being supportive of our students in that journey, and doing all the things we can, creating the systems, the structures, the processes, putting those things in place so that the work becomes easier as we do it together. Because many hands make a light load. And we want to make our load lighter for our students as they journey, make our load lighter for our teachers, for our principals, and as we support them in their work. I am a servant leader. And so everything we're going to be doing, we center around how can we best serve what I'll say is our customer, and our customer is our students, our customers are our families, and certainly our teachers and our administrators at the district level. Those are our customers. And so we want to do all we can. I'm all in as a leader.
So when you were announced as superintendent, there was a welcome home pep rally. How does it feel to be circling back to your hometown and to kind of receive that, I guess, feedback?
I'm glad you brought that out because it has been overwhelming. I'm getting a little emotional just thinking about the love that has been outpoured throughout this process. Not many people get a chance to do full circle. How many people get a chance to say, I graduated, or a place I get a chance to now lead? And not just lead it, but lead it with some people who just really have opened their arms and said, we want you to be successful. We want our students to be successful. We want our system to be successful. And we believe in you. And that belief in me, that belief in what we're capable of doing over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, is the wind beneath my wings, and it gives me great joy. Some people ask, how do you have the drive to do all you had to do in your first week of work? It's the reminder that there's some people who are leaning on us to do some great work, and I want to be involved. And again, at the end of it, them saying, you know what, we put our trust in the right place. And so it's exciting. It's overwhelming, but exciting all at the same time. And it gives me that energy to do the work that we have to do, which sometimes can be thankless. But at the end of it all, we know that it's for the best we have to do. So I'm happy to be home. I could not have imagined. This is storybook for me. If I tried to write this myself, I would not have written this particular journey the way it has come played out. But I'm so grateful. So grateful.
We're going to do one last thing. If I'm going to introduce myself, and then you're going to say your name, and just we're going to kind of pretend, okay? So this is Mallory Wyatt. We are doing a special edition On the Line episode for the Texarkana Gazette, and I am here speaking with Dr. Lloyd Jackson, the new superintendent of Texarkana, Arkansas School District.
I'm Lloyd Jackson, the proud superintendent of the Texarkana, Arkansas School District, where every day is a great day to be a Razorback.